Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound, and offering both hope and help for men. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And that's what this thing is all about. You know, the book of Hebrews 10 talks about that. Don't stop gathering this way. Stay together, encourage and exhort each other. And that's what we're about to do right now. So we've got a topic today that I don't want to have to do this all by myself. And I'm glad he's part of it. And his name is Duke, who's right sitting across from me. Good to have you, bro.
It is good to be here. Good morning.
And we have a topic about dealing with, get this, life surprises. The things that were, life throws you a curveball, it blindsides you, it's unexpected, there are surprises. Anyway, we're going to talk about a few of those things and how we handle them as men who are attempting to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, seeking him, and how we sometimes fall short on that, and how we can maybe look at ourselves and not take ourselves so serious sometimes, and life so serious. And but anyway, we'll talk about that here momentarily. Always like to kind of kick things in a little bit with some encouragement for you guys who are listening in. And and you point right back at me like, okay,
well,
you
know, again, okay, I have a list of encouragements like so long that I like to give you an opportunity. But if you don't have anything, of course I do.
If I don't have anything, like I would not have anything. Of course, I don't have anything.
Okay. All right. My encouragement to the guys is the diligence of being faithful in, I guess, the outcome that you want. That is, you know how we pray and we're self-serving. Lord, please help me with this, do this, allow this, right? And there comes a point where you just are laying it at the cross, and you are saying, you know what, Lord, I know that you know my heart's desires. If you choose to open up this door, thank you, Lord, and that'll be a blessing. Mm-hmm. And it seems like when you pray more like that and just give it his will and not so much, man, I could serve your kingdom better if this happened or if this happened, right? Well, this last week, a couple of those prayers that I had and I was asking for focus and clarity, came to pass. And they came in such a way that it was like this, fold my arms, sit back and go, okay, that was you. That was you, Lord. And it's just so uplifting. Not that I had this expectation of him delivering, you know, necessarily my heart's desire, but he did. Yes. And not even in exactly the way that I kind of thought, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And I just had that deep feeling inside of, oh, that you just showed up. Thank you, Lord. And I was just praising him for the rest of the day.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there's something about how he has a tendency when we are, I think, more sensitive to paying attention to what he has in store for us, about being just aware of his presence in our lives. And I guess I could just say this in my own experience. I found that at times he ends up revealing to me that he's present and he's listening.
Yes.
And I call those, you know, God nudges. You know, he's kind of like, hey, man, I'm here. I hear what you're asking for. And I just want to just let you know that I'm here. And those I love, because that's kind of like that little, that unexpected note that you get from somebody. It says, hey, yeah. I'm thinking about you.
I love you.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And you go, oh, How cool is this? Yeah. You know, and you know it has to only come from him. You know, it does not come from the enemy. It comes from our Lord. Okay. And those are the things that I really enjoy. And you know what? I know that I'm not alone with that. I know there are other men that end up experiencing those same type of that same type of relationship with him, where he does remind us. And we sit there and we go, okay, that's right. You do have it all under control. Thank you. And for the reminder, in a sense. It's always very, very cool to be able to receive that. And because in this world, we can be so caught up with anxiety and fear. And that's what the world, that's what the enemy, the one who has the realm of the world, he just instills in us to worry about, guess who your next president's going to be? Guess who, what the next war is going to be? You know, it's right around the corner, and I'm arriving here pretty soon, and you got all these things that you start to get all like, okay, what am I, okay, you know, but he does have everything under control. That's kind of what we're talking about, or going to be talking about also with this topic. So let's just segue right into that.
And there are times that we feel that we're, and I guess not to be boastful, but in control. That is, you feel like you're on the right bus, you know? You're trying not to take the side roads. You're not getting off at the wrong stops, right?
And you're not driving.
And you ain't driving, no. sure not driving. And you're trusting that the Holy Spirit is driving where you're supposed to be going, right? Mm-hmm. And you're trusting in that. And not that life is grand or anything, and you sure don't want to get in a place of, let's say, contentment. But it's about those times that why it takes you by surprise, I guess, when something, as you said earlier, just sidetracks you, takes you, I always say it takes me off at the knees. Mm-hmm. Something that just like you did not see coming, mm-hmm, and turns your world upside down.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I guess the difference is how I look upon that, those events now, and how I used to.
Mm-hmm.
Our first thoughts.
Yep. Yeah,
but we've all experienced it. Something comes along completely unexpected, and you're like, okay, so what's this about, Lord?
Yeah.
Why would you allow this?
Right.
And you're involved in some way, either personally or otherwise.
Yes, right. And it comes, it looks very different in so many ways and variations. Everything from, I mean, seriously, to all of a sudden you're driving down the road and you get a flat tire. Who expects to get a flat tire on your brand new vehicle? Or brand new tires, right?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it happens, and you're running behind or close to being late to where you need to be, where people are expecting you, and then all of a sudden this takes place. That's a surprise. That's something that came out of the blue. It's a curveball that was thrown at you, right? The other one is your vehicle doesn't start, right? And I don't know why I'm using vehicles, but just giving some application on some things. You sit there and go, okay, now what? And most of the time, I know how I used to react to those things. You know, I'd be the guy who'd be kicking the car for having a flat tire. Like, that's really going to make it better, right? And so I thought, okay, if nothing else would make me feel better, but it didn't. I just got upset later on for the dent in the car from my kick.
No, and those are the obvious drop my toothpaste cap down the sink first thing in the morning, to those little things, to the flat tire. That's more of an inconvenience.
Sure.
That jams up what your agenda was.
Right.
Sometimes it's good to reflect back and go, okay, I had this flat tire. Why, Lord?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe give you a perspective. But it's also those things that maybe hit a little bit more home, like you get the call to come to the school.
Oh, yes.
And something's up. They don't want to talk to you over the phone. They want you to come to the school. And you're thinking, what could be wrong?
Yeah.
Everything's been great.
Yeah.
Like the guy that finds that his wife just is not as warm as she used to be. And you're thinking, well, what's wrong? Everything's been going fine, you know,
right.
Only to find out that there's been something brewing. But it's the unexpected stuff, Raul, that I experienced this last week that prompted this topic.
Because
as you said not long ago here, that this happens to all of us.
Yep.
And we do. And we get caught off guard. We get slammed. Something completely unexpected.
You know, and so often it comes because, you know, we're all controllers to a certain degree. of wanting life to go a certain way and expectations and everything. And when it does not fall into that, at least in that realm nearby, that, you know, what you would like, you know, you give it a little slack, right? Saying, okay, I'll let that go a little bit. That's not a problem. We're still kind of going down that same path. But when that really just takes a left turn, or you have to avoid, here's a rock coming down off the mountainside onto the road toward you. You got to divert.
And so,
but how do we handle with that sort of thing? I know the past, I used to handle the tragedies in that sort with, I mean, I used to try to soothe myself. First off, it was a different lifestyle than what I have today. But, you know, I used alcohol as a means of being able to deal with life. You know, that was my crutch, so to speak. You know, that was my go-to, that I need to, I just need to, this sort of comfort, in a sense. And what ended up taking place most of the time is that, well, that just came back and bit me. So it wasn't, but that is what I did. I looked for something to get out of the reality.
Yes.
You know, I didn't want to be in the reality because I don't like the reality right now. It's not where I want to be. I want to be somewhere else. Now, there was a time in my life where I would blame God over everything, and all the more reason because I wasn't seeking him anyway. But I felt guilty for not seeking him. And so what I ended up doing is getting upset with him, blaming him.
Yes.
And this is why I don't seek you, because of that, you know?
Well, there's fear and there's risk. I can't count the number of times that I felt like things were going along pretty good, and it's, in a way, I'm thinking, boy, I hope something doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then just about the time you think that, something happens. You go, man, I should not have even had that thought because things were going great.
Yes.
But how I looked at it in the world is way different. I mean, you talk about a car accident or some domestic abuse or something, the first thoughts are police and who can I sue?
Yes.
I mean, that used to be
yes.
it.
Yeah.
Now my heart goes to the victims of the people in that situation, and immediately I'm thinking, okay, Lord, how can I contribute here? How can I completely different perspective?
Yeah, isn't it? It's really crazy.
I almost can't remember, other than times of real anger, what I did in those situations because they were all up. I thought up to me.
Yep.
Yeah. Right.
Yep. You know, I want to tell a little story here on unexpected things that it has to do, and most of you guys who know me and you know my background and everything, that I had been married a few times before, okay? And there was the day that my fiance and I were going to fly from our hometown to Reno,
okay?
And we had to fly from here in Bellingham to Seattle to get a plane. And this whole thing was kind of questionable. We had good friends said, you guys should not be getting married and so on and so forth. But I wanted to do what I wanted to do, and she wanted to do what she wanted to do. And that seemed to be good enough, even though everyone else was saying, I think you ought to think about this a little longer and stuff. And so we thought we'd elope, just the two of us, and just going to go do this thing, right?
Amen.
So we didn't have to worry about anybody being around and questioning what we're doing. We're just going to do this thing. Well, it kind of crazy. We, not a believer at the time, okay? We had some of our friends who they cared about us, and they came to the airport to see us off.
Mm-hmm.
And we got in this airplane that only seats around like 12 people. It's a smaller one. It used to be called Harbor Airlines or something like that. And so you're in this plane. You can't stand up in it. It's small. There's only 12 people in it, you know. And anyway, this one guy gets on, and he ends up not feeling like he's uncomfortable, looking uncomfortable. So we all get in the plane, load it up. They close the hatch, right? And we get down to the end of the runway, and this guy's kind of fidgety and everything. He's staying right across the walkway or the open
aisle away from
you. And we get down to the end of the runway where we're going to get ready to take off, and he starts to turn up the RPMs on this thing. And all of a sudden, as we're starting to, he releases it to let go, this guy starts to scream. I mean, no, stop, no, I can't do this, right? And so the guy, downs it, you know, the RPMs, and then heads back over. And this guy is screaming, I got to get out of here, I got to get out of here. And, you know, and so, and everyone's kind of like, oh, man, what is this guy? This is long before, I mean, this is long before 9/11 and everything, so it wasn't like we didn't have that type of security.
Right.
Okay. So we go back to the building, let him off, okay, and he's out of the plane. We go, okay, now we can get going here. So we get going for our day, right? You know, they close the hatch and they get back, do the same thing. And I got an extra room next to me because that guy's not there. Thank you. We get down at the end of the runway to start up. He starts up the RPMs again. And then all of a sudden, as we get to take off, he, you know, going down there, this hatch that he thought was closed flips open.
Oh, my God. Okay?
So the guy downs it before we get off the ground. And we sit there going, oh, my God. And nobody touch it. Nobody touch it. Because I was going to try to grab it and pull it down and close it. I said, come on. Let's just get going. I said, no, leave it alone. Leave it alone. And anyway, so we get back over there. Long story. They repaired it, took care of it. We got going. Now, those were surprises.
Yes.
Those were things that, you know, did not expect.
No, you didn't elope that day.
Well, yes, we did. We okay. You know, there was a focus that this was going to take place no matter what.
Okay,
so we ended up going. Okay.
Right.
But my point is, I use that as an example. Well, one, there's a couple examples. One is that you just don't know when something's going to come. It's a surprise. Yeah. How do you deal with it?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I try to deal with it calmly, but I just, you know, it's like, okay, you know. Second, in hindsight, I look back and I was thinking that maybe the Lord was trying to tell us something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the third time we got down to the end of the runway to take off, tell me there was a little anxiety, a little fear. And I mean, is this thing going to drop into the Puget Sound in the meantime, you know, or whatever? But my point is that these are some of the things that sometimes take place. And how I dealt with it back then isn't anything close to how I would deal with that today. Okay. Now, I'm just going to leave you with that. We're going to come back. We're going to continue on this talk about these surprises that take place. What is it that we can do as followers of Jesus Christ to have assurity, confidence in what is going to take place as a result of this? We'll be right back. You're listening to Band Brothers Radio.
No sugarcoating here. It's real talk about real issues for real men. Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
I tell you, I feel like an old bear today because I love the slower pace of winter. Some of you have been as busy as a one-legged cat in a sandbox. And brothers, it's time to slow down and spend time with the family. And the very best place to gather the family is around the dining table, featuring, of course, a delicious Hempler's ham. Woo-wee! Or maybe pork and beans with some tasty Hempler's bacon cooked in it. Now, I know some of you worry about weird ingredients that some companies put in their bacon these days, but don't get your knickers in a knot. Hempler's Meats uses the finest raw ingredients available, including natural spices, and guess what? No gluten. So if you're ready to hibernate for the winter, then order your own supply of Hempler's Meats delivered right to your cave. To place your order, go to Hemplers.com.
Owners and managers of businesses are always looking for a good way to spread the message about their product or service. Well, we invite you to try advertising on our talk shows here at faithplace.org. We have very engaged listeners, and we keep the cost of advertising super low. When you partner with us, you'll receive a commercial on each one of our shows, Band of Brothers Radio, The Debbie Chavez Show, and The Carolyn Merriman Show. And when you advertise with us, you'll not only help your business, but you'll be helping this ministry continue on. We're so excited to hear from listeners all around the world who are being inspired to put their trust in Jesus Christ. For more information about advertising on our talk shows, simply email info@faithplace.org. Yep, that's info@faithplace.org.
A little disappointed with your current internet provider? Perhaps it's time to check out StarTouch Broadband Services. StarTouch is the Pacific Northwest's largest high-speed wireless internet provider, serving residential, business, and government entities in several Northwest states. With StarTouch, there are no latency issues, and there's no limit to the number of users. Find out more about how StarTouch can benefit you and get a free quote at StarTouch.com. StarTouch, serving the Northwest since 1998.
Like a bull chasing the matadors, a man. the sea.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio, Duke and Raul, and we're talking about the curveballs that life throws us sometimes, right? It's unexpected. It just happens, and all of a sudden, your floor underneath you just pulls away from you, and you just feel like you're just going to fall. And, you know, we've got, I gave an experience of something that happened with me. Have many more, but this isn't about just telling, trying to one-up each other in experiences and everything, but we want to be able to give you the examples because we want to give you what we believe the solution is and what the Bible has to say about this sort of thing. So, brother, you had mentioned something about having an experience that was instrumental in your life.
Well, it's like I say, oftentimes some of these topics are prompted by real life experiences that we both have that we see how it turns out versus how it used to didn't, you know?
Yeah.
And the hopes that the listeners can relate to that experience and draw from it. So this last week, I'm going to say it's been about 10 days, I was finding myself going to one of the scripture verses I carry in my wallet, which is 1 Peter 4:12. It says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you." Mm-hmm. And that's one of my anchor verses in that it lets me know that junk happens. Mm-hmm. There's bumper stickers that say that, I think. And you just never know when. So
I use another word other than junk.
Yeah. Stuff happens. Anyway, one of these things happened. So I'm going along. I'm living life, not that it's not without its challenges and so forth, and out of the blue I get a text from a very close person into my life that says that her husband had announced he was divorcing her, and they had an argument and threw the ring at her. Now, this was something that came like, you got to be joking. What? These guys? You know, it was one of those.
Right.
It's like, you got to be kidding me kind of thing. Well, the fact she texted me was because she didn't know where else to go with it necessarily, and she said she knew that I would know what to pray about. And so, for one, that took me back emotionally. Mm-hmm. Thank you. The reason I bring up the story is it did not look good. He was pretty much moving out. There's three kids. Mm-hmm. It was pretty much a done deal as far as both of them were concerned. Yeah. Something that had brewed for a while, obviously, it doesn't happen. Right. But to us, the news was immediate. So what did I do? My first thought was this 1 Peter 4:12 was, oh, man, they're going through a fiery trial. Mm. Then the next thing was, what do I do? And immediately it was prayer. Mm. Immediately, I thought, okay, I got to take this to God, and I got to ask him what I'm to do. And I want to appeal to him to repair it. To look towards reconciliation instead of division. Well, fast forward through about, I'm going to say, 4 or 5 days, I managed to get to each one of these individuals, which was the goal.
Right.
The guy, hard as nails, absolutely had made the decision. I asked him if he was open to hearing some other perspective, and he reluctantly said maybe. And so I said, well, can I pray for you? And I just prayed my heart for this man. And he broke down. And I broke down. We ended up hugging. Well, the next day, I think it was, the next day, the woman texts me. And I had met with her and prayed with her, too. She texts me to tell me that she came home, and he was supposed to be moved out, and he was there in the front yard playing with one of the kids. And that when she got out of the car and she walked up, he walked over, he apologized, and he kissed her. Now, that doesn't mean things are all hunky-dory. But that was as big a surprise to me as the occurrence that had happened just days before then. Mm-hmm. I completely believe, Raul, that it's the way that I ask God to intervene, the way that I handle it without getting, and what I spoke to both of them about, I don't know the answer. I don't know your stuff.
Right.
I can't, I'm not walking in your shoes. What I do know is there's hope and healing, and it begins with prayer, and it begins with turning to Jesus Christ and ask him to show you where that reconciliation can. Do you still love your husband? Do you remember why you married him? Those kind of, yes. But they found themselves in a place that seemed like there was an impasse. They had no choice but say, you know what, I'm done.
Yes.
And go away.
Yeah.
So completely took me off guard. Took her off guard. I mean, she kind of knew his problem, but she did not expect him to say, I'm done, and leave her with three kids kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And to have it, I guess, turn around faster for reconciliation than I had thought, I really believe it's because God had armed me with the tools to know how to go and get on my knees and battle Satan and go to battle for them.
Yep.
And it taught them how to go to battle. Now, he, I don't think, prayed afterwards.
Yeah.
She absolutely did.
Yeah. You know, I think, I believe that what ends up taking place, this walk with Christ as men, they're similar to, for those of men who have been part of military service, okay, or anything that you have to go through a regimented course to finish up to be able to be allowed to be able to do certain things. In this case here, I'll use the military in a sense. They send you to boot camp.
Yes.
You know, for months to be able to learn. What ends up taking place, and the guys who are veterans know this, there's a breakdown. You got to break down to get to that place where you are. They want you to not bring any of your own ideas on how to be able to do things. They want you broken, in a sense, okay? Sound a little familiar?
Yes.
Okay? Because then now you're theirs, which you are anyway, but now you become aware that, okay, and there may be, it may have been your idea to even be part of it. So we'll talk about the one that isn't necessarily drafted, but one that joined up and said, okay, you know, I'm willing to go through whatever's necessary. So that the training is important. And that's what we do as followers of Jesus Christ. We get into this place of realizing that, first, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to go to war. I don't know how to be able to fly a plane. I don't know how to be able to steer a ship. I don't know how to be able to whatever it is. But maybe I'll learn here, okay? But I've got to be willing to hear everything they have to say and go, because they're the experts, right? So you go through this training, which is so important. And sometimes it used to get very monotonous. You go, you got to be kidding. Why do I have to make up my bed like this? You know, why do I have to wash my clothes and fold my clothes like this?
Yes.
Why are my clothes the same as everybody else's? You know, and I can't be unique. There's a reason for all of that, okay? Now, I say this because I believe this is part of what takes place in how we handle situations that are surprising. I can go in through the training of in with rifles and armament, okay, of knowing that I'm safe, I'm not going to get shot here intentionally, okay, and go through all that I need to go through to learn how to be able to adhere to that situation, right, or to be able to deal with it, and which is a lot different. Gunfire sounds the same whether it's fire that's meant to hurt you or fire that's meant to train you.
Yes.
Okay. When it's meant to hurt you, all of a sudden there's a real realization like, okay, boom, this is the real thing. Okay. And you respond to it depending on how you're trained. Okay.
Amen.
Now, if I didn't go through training very well and stuff, I may decide to just drop everything and run. Okay. Or hide and stuff, right? Try to avoid everything. Because I don't, if I'm relying on my power, I obviously don't have any. I think theirs, whoever's trying to get me, is better than mine.
First instinct, get out of Dodge.
Yes. Yeah. So, and that's where so much depends on where we're at in our relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When I've got to that place of realizing that I can't do life the way that I've been doing it, and it's not the best thing for me to be able to just rely on my own pull up your bootstraps and do it type of thing, that maybe there is a better way, that I am a sinner and there is a God that actually will forgive me and grant me a gift of eternal life with him. And as a result of that, my life, maybe this is why I'm here. Maybe this is all part of the purpose that I'm alive today. Not so that I could win over this or to gain that or to be able to acquire those things or whatever it is, but it is to be able to have eternal life. And yet, more importantly, to be able to give that away. So as a result of that, we end up finding out, now that doesn't mean that all of a sudden when something as a believer in Jesus, and even if you've been walking this path for a while, I don't think it's a matter of just having that relationship going that all of a sudden you're not going to be surprised when something happens. I believe that you go through the same process of, wow, this, I can't believe this happened. But, you know, and how we react and how quickly we react to it and the way that we react to it depends on our training.
Just okay? Like an EMT.
Exactly. That I trust in the fact that, okay, yes, does this surprise me that my wife just had this injury that took place, that she was, you know, maybe hit or something by a vehicle and I've got to get down to the hospital? Does that mean that I don't have fear and worry and anxiety
of
that's going on?
Of course you do. Amen.
Yes. But somewhere in there, you're wrapped with, I believe, back to this protection from the Lord that he's going to give us in his promises, okay?
Yeah.
And if you seek me, okay, I will abide in you also. So if you abide in me and in my word, I will abide in you, that you are with me. And he doesn't leave me no matter what takes place, or my wife for that matter. I use that as a just an analogy because so often we can get so caught up in saying, I don't know why he's not doing this or why God's allowing this to take place. And when his purpose is, when we look back in our own lives and maybe listen to the lives of others that are sharing things to us, we end up hearing how God revealed what he wanted done.
Yes.
Okay? And it doesn't come on our speed, on our terms. We are his. Remember, just like in the military, you might think you're yours, but you're not. You're a GI. It's government issue. You belong to the government, okay? So whatever they say, they could change your mind. Say, yeah, you thought you were going to Hawaii to be stationed, but we're going to send you to Alaska instead.
Yeah.
You have no choice. You're going to have to go there. And so in a sense, with the Lord, do we have a choice? Sure. He gives us free will. But we find out, and if we look back from our own experiences and trusting in him, that things can actually, we can see them in a different perspective.
Amen.
But it requires some things.
Oh, yes.
So when we come back from a break, we're going to go ahead and talk about what some of those things that we need to do or to secure how we deal with these surprises or curveballs that are thrown at us. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
As iron sharpens iron, this is Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
Pastor's wife and wives ministry leader, Debbie Chavez.
There's a way to bring things up that helps you to have a calm conversation where your husband doesn't get defensive. Here's an example of how to do it wrong and how to do it right. The wrong way would be to say, I can't believe how you treat our kids. Okay. That's not a good opening line.
No, never.
Because immediately...
Defense,
right? But what if you start out by saying, I know that you love our children dearly. I wonder if you notice that they tend to shut down or start crying a lot or, you know, slam the door and go hole up in their bedroom after, you know, they've done something you didn't like and you've responded. Have you noticed their reaction? And so you're just opening up a dialogue. And then you can say, you know, I'm wondering if we could come up with a different way.
The Debbie Chavez Show, podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
Memorials represent unique, permanent historical records of very special people. When someone you love passes away, make sure their name and their legacy continues. Select a beautiful granite memorial from Cascade Monuments. If you understand your special person's faith, beliefs, family heritage, interests, and accomplishments, which made them unique, you can select a monument design that's as one-of-a-kind as they were. Take a look at the vast inventory of memorial markers at CascadeMonuments.net, and they'll arrange for shipping anywhere in the U.S. and Canada. Cascade Monuments.
If you've been helped by Band of Brothers Radio, The Debbie Chavez Show, or The Carolyn Merriman Show, there's a super easy way, totally painless way, for you to help our talk show ministry continue. All you have to do is link your Fred Meyer or Kroger or Amazon account to our nonprofit ministry, which is called Great Awakening Productions. To find out how to do that, just click on the purple donate button on our podcast websites. Scroll down and find out how to link your Amazon account, your Kroger account, or your Fred Meyer account to Great Awakening Productions. Then every time you shop, those retailers will donate a small percentage to our ministry. It's that easy. Thank you for partnering with us.
We simply can't believe that this unconditional kind of love would be enough to take a filthy wretch like this and wrap him up in righteousness. That's exactly what he did. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is a cross has made. The cross has made you flawless.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio, and I promise no more commercials between now and the time we end. Not that those are too many, but it's like all of a sudden it's okay. You know, it's like anything else. You know, when you listen to the podcast, you can zip right through those. You know, if you're listening to a stream live, you have to listen to the commercials.
All the anyway. Good music.
But those are good things that we have on there, yes, with the commercials. Yes. The people who support the ministry of Faith Place to keep things rolling here in, I was going to say, in the theater, in the radio station. Anyway. So, well,
you know what I like most about this topic, Raul?
Yeah.
Is, and I so hope that the listeners, especially the men, get this, is that we will all admit to being a little bit of warriors, a little bit of conquerors. I mean, we're built that way, right? Mm-hmm. We're prideful, we're boastful, I want it to be my idea, all that. And I think so much of that comes into play when others depend on us.
Yep.
And I used to be fearful about carrying that responsibility,
right?
And they're coming to me for this, and this is, of course, before I was walking with God and following Jesus. So I would have great fear. Well, you know what? I don't anymore. That is same as you pointed out in the boot camp, same as an EMT. They'll show up on the scene in EMT. They'll provide initial care. But they recognize that even they have boundaries, and there's got to be something else. The person has to make some decisions and get well and all that.
Right.
Well, I'll tell you what, when these people called or texted me, I felt a little bit like an EMT, except one that was trained. Not fully trained, because you never know what you might come upon the scene and see. But I felt confident that I could bring initial care.
Yeah.
I could bandage the wounds a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, brothers, you want to feel empowered? You want to feel like the guy that they can come to and be the rescuer? That this is not to be prideful, but these are things that give us strength, and we know that we're needed and that we can come to task. Being in warfare or boot camp and going, having that guy next to you, all of that. So I'll tell you that one of the things that I gleaned from this recent experience was that I was equipped because I've been in boot camp, mm-hmm, and I've been seeking God, mm-hmm, and I knew the truth of His Word, and I knew where to at least apply the first bandages. Mm-hmm. Man, that mm-hmm felt great.
Yep.
I'm telling you, that is a much better feeling than the feeling of, woe is me, I don't know what to do, and get on their same bandwagon.
Yes, yes. You know, and so often it's back once again that I want what I want, and I want it now. In other words, I want to be able to do this without having to go through what you had to go through to get where you're at.
Oh, yes.
I want the shortcut version.
Amen.
You know? And and praise God that you think that way, because I think that's part of, as a man, that's part of what we do, is we want from point A to point B, the straight line.
Amen.
Okay, I'll take care of this. I don't need to worry about all this other stuff that's going to interfere with. Let's just do it, right? And that's the way we're wired. And there's a reason for that. Now, the other thing I think is so important for us to remember as men is that we have family around us. We have our loved ones around us. Our wives play an important part in our life for those of us who are married. Okay? She's a helpmate. We need to be able to pay attention to her, because God put her in our life for a reason. Sometimes for us, we sit there and go, Lord, serious? you gave me this woman. You know, that's right. Yeah. But it's usually because now we're talking about a godly woman, someone who's seeking God's will,
okay.
Not trying to do it herself, but seeking God's will. And she's there to help fulfill what your purpose is, believe it or not. And because she's gifted certain ways that you're not. And we can all say amen to that, right?
Yeah, yes.
The things that we're short on and we're not good at, that they can usually probably fill that gap very easily, okay? And that's the reason that they're there, okay? And as a result of that, we end up neglecting or not giving them the kudos necessary, loving them as Christ loves the church, which is so important because this is our helpmate. This is the one that God has allowed us to be able to take that we felt that, hey, this is who I want to live the rest of my life with. And they are there for that reason. Now, that's totally another topic, but I just want to remind us that we have around us these things, these people that are important to us. Ministry is so important. Staying not just accountable to other men, but being involved in other men's lives so that you can actually either help someone else in encouraging or praying for or receiving the encouragement or receiving the prayer.
Amen. Okay? Amen.
These are things that God says, hey, this is what I'm going to give you for your ongoing, what you need all the time. I'm going to give you everything that you need. Here's the armor of God, of everything from that go from your feet to your head, right? Mm-hmm. Or to the tip of your hand, right? Any way you want to look at it, you get all the armor. He says, this is what I give you, okay? But you need to be mindful, okay, of all of this stuff. And the only way to be mindful of that is to be in fellowship with others who are attempting to do the same thing.
Then it becomes instinctive, like you were referring to the idea of boot camp, is so that you don't have to think. When the firefight starts, you know what to do because they repeated. Now, that's a little bit of a forced venue.
Yeah.
Okay. But I'll tell you what, applicable to God's word, it goes so much to desire, Raul, for I didn't start to really get it until I really desired to know and desired to seek that. And then I started getting the armor that I wanted.
You know, here's part of why we do what we do right here. You and I, Duke, with sharing with the men, is that we don't want other men to go through some of the challenges that we went through as a result of it. Who doesn't want their children to have to experience? Yes, we can sit there and say, yes, he's going to have to put his finger in the flame to know that it's hot. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about extreme situations where, you know, all of a sudden, whether it has to do with a marital relationship that you sit there and you don't know what to say to them. But you know what to say because you've been through the same thing. You just don't want to reveal it necessarily. This is where the beauty of the Word of God says where we're reminded that Paul had asked Jesus to remove the thorn. Okay?
Yes.
And Jesus said no after he asked him three times, right? My grace is sufficient. And it's through your weaknesses, that's where my power will be perfected.
Yes.
Wow, so this thing that happened to me that nobody knows about, that this man or my son or someone that I know really close is asking me how to deal with this sort of thing, I know how not to deal with it. This is what happened to me. And yes. I think I remember something about the word says this. You know, you'd be amazed at how God will take what you know and what you have experienced and be able to benefit someone else.
Amen.
Okay. And as a result of that, that doesn't mean that we have a free, you know, green light to change everybody's lives. No, the people he puts in front of us. But here's what I love about it is that we are encouraged over and over again to don't just go with just the training that you had at the very beginning. This is ongoing training. None of us have arrived. None of us ever will arrive. Stay green. Keep growing and growing and growing in Christ, because the more that we become like him, the more we actually become more attractive to others. In other words, when they know, without you being embarrassed at work, to say, hey, I go to a ministry on this night, and what do you guys do at that thing? Oh, well, this is what we do, and we pray for each other, and we gather together, we fellowship, and it's a really cool thing. These guys are being real. Okay, whatever it is, and as a result of that, they may say, "Oh, forget that. I'd never do that sort of thing." But when something happens in that person's life, If they know you, and they know that they have no power to do anything, they know that you might be connected to the power of all things. And they may come to you and ask you if you could keep this in prayer, or if you could give them some suggestions on what to do and how to do what you're doing. You know what? God will open doors.
Isn't that funny how that works? I can remember my early days struggling and knowing, because I'd learned a little bit about God, knowing that there was a possible solution over there. And what did I do? I sought out the guys that I knew were these God followers.
Yes.
And
yes.
I'd go, and you know what I do? I'd ask them for prayer. I didn't ask them to fix my problem.
Yes.
I just would ask them, would you pray for me?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, here's kind of for, I'm going to use some scripture. We haven't used a lot of scripture this morning, but here's one that kind of falls in line with how we get prepared for the storms, the surprises, the things that come into our life. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Jesus says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock."
Amen.
So he's letting us know through this analogy that when we seek him and attempt to do his will in our life and be obedient to what he has in store for us, that's showing our love for him, he will secure our where we're at. Okay, that our house will not be blown over or, you know, if it was built on sand, be washed away in a certain sense, that it's going to stand. It may get beaten and, you know, the
weathered.
Winds get weathered and all of that sort of thing, but it is not going to fall because it is on the rock, secure onto the rock. And that's so important for us to remember because that's truly where our strength comes from. If it comes from us, brother, we're going to be weakened once again. And we can't do it. So instead of trying to continue making it work the way that you want it to work, we encourage you to just go on your knees and submit yourself to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Allow him to be able to speak to you. Brother, he'll forgive you for all of your sins. If there's supplication, if you humbly come to him and ask him to forgive you, he will forgive you. And you become a new person at that moment in time. That sin is gone. It's behind him. He'll even look at you and even say, "Hey, what sin are you talking about? You're a new creation in me. Now move forward. Let's go forward." That's where you see this thing that took place with the man that you talked about that kissed his wife as she drove up.
Yes.
You know, to be able to say, "Hey, this is how I want to deal with things." We don't want to look at our lives and say, "Man, I wish I had done that differently." How about we just start doing it differently now before it comes?
Man, that takes us courage.
But it all comes with our submission to him and being able to do that sort of thing. So, you know, I believe that that's something that is so, so important for us. And I'm just one more here I want to just go to. Hebrews 10. I think I mentioned it before. Let me just get in here. Hebrews 10 is, am I going to get there quick enough? Yes, I will. Verse 23. Come on. These things are so simple. "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near."